You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. Yeah, commuting sucks, but these guys don't.
If I go on a Saturday night...
Tell me you bring Steph.
I'll
like, you don't go on your own. Like you, no. You wine and dine yourself. Head out to a movie.
Nice dinner and a movie by myself.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill. Jamie Noodles McLennan.
You got 1 hour left in your work week.
Final hour of the week for yours truly. I will be chatting with you then next Monday at 4 p.m. Scotty Mack will be in this chair for the rest of the week.
What would you give to have 1 hour left in your work week?
2 months' salary.
Yeah. I do feel good about it, but I'm flying to England, so... That's I don't good, mind though. Traveling, but it's a long flight. It's annoying. You know, it's going to be fast-paced, too. We're going over there for a wedding. And
yeah, quick turnaround.
You can be okay. Fine. I don't know if I can leave. This guy may not make it.
I know. He's got...
What'd you do during the break?
I don't know. He's
I may or may not have witnessed something during the break.
We may have.
I can't confirm or deny.
There was a...
that cake.
What was it?
The Gord Miller cake,
Tabasco sauce? Like, what was in the Yeah, it was a Gord Miller cake that's been sitting out there for about 6-7 hours.
It's been marinating out in there. And I said, as long as you cut a slice from the non-grazed part of the cake.
Right. From the non-buffet side of the cake.
Exactly. Because it's kind of like a puzzle. People have just walked by and have just chipped away. Taken a knife... And cut a piece and put it right in their yap and put the knife right down.
Right back in there for a second piece.
Exactly.
Because there's no point just having one nibble of a piece of cake. You know you're going back for at least two.
If you did a DNA sample like of what was going on the one side of the cake.
Do you think a janitor's DNA would be in there?
No, for sure. I think there's...
How many people from SportsCenter? How many different strains of DNA are in that cake?
23. Maybe more.
Yeah,
because
a minimum 20.
The whole Cujo camp was out there. Now I don't think they got involved.
No, they're dignified people. Let's not drag Cujo and his crew in there.
No, but they were.
I just love this building because anytime there's like a buffet set up, this is for tennis. This is for in the CAF right now. It's elections, people.
Oh, I saw that actually. Yeah,
but
it looked like a great spread. You go close to that, they will put you in.
Have
a
you
rear
ever
got, like,
in
an
your life guard. Seen a yeah. setup that says? This is for radio.
Never.
And if anything ever is for radio, everyone else just heels
you know
by
why?
Yep, that's
and
right.
they just grab some.
They've got a producer of the Scotty Mack Show.
Yes.
He leads the charge.
And he would be right there. We all know. We all love
Peter
Sean.
Peter Laviolette, Bullhead.
Mm-hmm. We all love Sean.
We all love Sean, but
you know Sean's
he takes
DNA.
Advantage.
How much would you bet that Sean Levine's DNA is on that cake?
The lock of the century. There's no point in a trial. I don't need a jury. I don't need a judge.
That's the lock of the century.
I don't need any evidence.
Even Mulls is like, for
dude,
sure.
Are you kidding?
I think I saw him put his face in it. So.
And blow. I'm pretty sure I saw that, too, and I wasn't even here. I can just vision.
There's
that.
A Levine face implant on one side.
Yeah, he definitely was indulging in that earlier.
I love it.
We've had a lot of cool people rolling through here today. Jay Triano was in studio. Was Dave Stewart in studio, or was he just over the phone? Anyway, we had Curtis Joseph in here.
Yeah, Cujo's awesome.
Cujo's got a new book out, and he was telling us in the 4 p.m. hour, like, I didn't know this about his childhood.
Yeah.
He was adopted, but not officially adopted, but he grew up in a home that was...
Where there was mentally challenged people.
That, yes.
Or no, was, he said, not even mentally
He said,
challenged.
Like, mentally ill.
Yeah, mentally
like,
ill.
Full-blown mentally ill people in the house that he was very scared of growing up. And
we might replay that at 6:30.
Well, no, we're going to get into the World Series, which begins tomorrow at Fenway. And last time I checked, it's pretty close to a pick 'em. I think the Sox are favored. They probably should be. I was impressed by them against Houston. I thought the Houston Astros were going to win that series, and Boston won in 5.
Is there a chance Price could win MVP?
No.
What could he do
out.
For you?
I think if he gives you anything, right? Like, he's going to start a game. Chris Sale's going to give them at least a game.
He'd have to do the Randy Johnson start game 1. Start game 3.
Game 4, and then make an appearance in game 7. Yeah, that's the only way pitchers get it. Like, you've got to get 2 starts in that are brilliant, and then probably a bullpen
appearance.
I think Baumgartner did that a couple years ago when San Fran won.
That's exactly what he did. It was like 1-4-7 he closed it out. That was Chevy guy, I think.
I was going to say, wasn't that Chevy guy?
Chevy guy. That was...
Technology and stuff. Technology that was with stuff. Baumgartner.
Yeah, that was the 2015 World Series?
Yeah, I think
Series?
It was gonna, like 3 years ago.
Yeah, because Kansas City beat the Jays in the ALCS that year.
Do we have that guy?
It combines class winning and leading, technology and stuff.
What a sales pitch for the product. I've got to get out and buy this. There's technology and stuff.
Baumgartner's like, I could buy 150 of these.
That's the thing. Like, it's a cool thing, and Chevy paid a lot of money. Yeah. I don't think Baumgartner's cruising around San Francisco in the Chevy.
What if he was, though?
He might.
I think that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, he might. You never know.
You always see unique or eccentric wealthy people.
Well, he is one of those guys. Like, Madison Baumgartner.
Is that the guy who lived in a van?
He is a redneck.
Yeah, but he's from, like, he married his...
Mississippi or something.
High school sweetheart.
Yeah, old school. He's old school.
Old school kind of guy. All right, Raps in action tonight. They're 3-0 out of the gate. Kawhi didn't even play on Saturday, and they got a big win on the road. Our main man, Jack Armstrong, was calling the game on Saturday night.
Yep.
I don't think we've had Jack on in quite some time.
He's the best.
He's been dodging us.
I know.
Here's our NBA analyst, Jack Armstrong. What's up, Jack?
I haven't been dodging. You guys talk too much hockey. And by the way, the Sabres are playing good. My wife is out visiting my oldest son in San Diego, and they went to the game last night, the Mighty Ducks. Big win for the Sabres. 10 points on the season. We're rolling.
They look good.
Come on, Jack. Get your hockey together. It's just the Ducks, okay, pal? It's not the Mighty Ducks.
What did I say? They played the Anaheim Mighty Ducks.
No, it's just the Ducks.
The Mighty Ducks of Anaheim. Let's get it right.
Okay, I'm sorry about that.
No, you're right, though. Your boy Jack Eichel looks pretty good, man.
Yeah, there's my hockey content for the night. Why was that opening night? They were horrible, so... you don't want to peak too early, I guess. So I think they've been much better since then.
Well, at least you got the Bills. I mean, there's always that.
They stink. Next topic.
Yeah, imagine that. Imagine paying to see Derek Anderson play quarterback. That's got to sting, Jack. Just a little bit.
I was at the one game they won at home. I was at the Tennessee game. So that was a good time. Good time had by all. Okay. Nice tailgate, good games. We had fun.
All right.
Jack, couple games in, Kawhi's... obviously look good, and as somebody that lives in Toronto and hearing different guys talk throughout the league, they're like, he's one of the top five players in the league. It's kind of nice to hear that he's a part of the Toronto Raptors. How difficult that is that for fans? It's just enjoy the moment, just like the promo video at the beginning of the season. Just enjoy it for the year and see what happens here, because he looks so impressive.
No, he's an amazing talent, and the thing I love about him too is just that he's all business. Having sat and watched through training camp, the thing that impresses me about him and Danny Green, both from San Antonio, both with championship rings, you know, their professionalism, their basketball IQ, their work ethic, and just their true appreciation for what it takes to win, and their understanding of team play and being able to see what the other guys on the floor are doing and awareness level. And I think a lot of times you see these young teams in all sports with great talent and guys with upside and all that, this, that, the other thing, but they don't have a clue how to play. And to me, that's the difference when you watch a Kawhi Leonard and even a Danny Green. Both of them, they know how to play. They know what works and they know what doesn't. And what's the old line? They beat trouble before trouble beats them. They make the high percentage play.
Have you seen anything, and I'm not talking about, I think Kyle Lowry, and I think it's a bit of a hero move. Sometimes at midnight after a game or after the game, he'll go out on the court and shoot if he had a bad night. But is there anything in particular where you've seen, either watching practice or something, where you're like, look at that, that's the difference, or that's something that's going to be different moving forward with these two guys from a championship team?
Well, I'll tell you what, you look at what Kyle Lowry's done the first three games, you could tell that he's got his high beams on. He's zeroed in. He's raring to go. And tonight he's got a tough matchup. After playing Kyrie Irving on Friday and John Wall on Saturday, now he's got to deal with Kemba Walker, the Eastern Conference Player of the Week, tonight. So it never ends at his position. But he looks great. He's in tremendous shape. he's locked in and loaded, and he's played great for them. And quite frankly, they don't win the three games they've won without him having a huge piece of the puzzle. And for him, I said this the other night, and I really believe this is important to understand. You know, you added Kawhi Leonard, you added Danny Green, and more importantly, you're only playing one big on the floor now. It's a different spacing element in terms of how they play offensively. So if you're Kyle Lowry, the real estate you have to operate with in terms of getting by people, it's not as congested because teams have to get out and play shooters. And secondly, I just think when you have shooters, you add a Danny Green on the floor in place of DeMar DeRozan. You put a Kawhi Leonard on the floor at the three instead of an inconsistent three that they've had in Toronto for years. You add those quality people. Those people need to be guarded. And on top of that, now some of the guys that have to take those other shots don't feel as much pressure because they don't have the weight of the world on their shoulders. They can still be secondary players. And more importantly, the Pascal Siakams, the Norman Powells, the DeLon Wrights, the Fred VanVleets, the OG Anunobis of the world, they've all got a year or 2 years, 3 years under their belt. They're maturing before your eyes. And the most important thing is each one of those guys has come into this in a winning environment, and every minute they've gotten, they've had to earn. So you see guys in bad organizations, again, in all sports, that get playing time early in their career on lousy teams, and they get a false sense of self, and they don't know really what it takes to win as a pro. And I think for the guys in Toronto right now, you have a good combination of young and old, but most importantly, they've all been in a winning environment. And then you add two guys with championship rings to the mix that have a higher level of self-expectation and team expectation. It changes the climate in the room.
Jack, what did you make of the dust up in L.A.? You think the suspensions were heavy enough if Rondo did spit?
I think if you or I or anyone else was spit on by Rondo, we would throw a punch at him too and try to kill the guy.
Yeah.
So I think Chris Paul had every right to defend himself, and for him to be suspended two games, I think it was excessive. I think it probably should be one. Obviously, you know the rule, you can't fight. And most NBA fights are pillow fights anyway. I mean, years ago we'd have fights constantly. Now you don't have anything. So to me, I think it's a whole lot about nothing. But the bottom line is I think Chris Paul had every right to defend himself. Rondo is an incredibly good player, but a tenacious competitor, as is Paul. And it just got out of hand, which is unfortunate. But nonetheless, here you are. I mean, it's funny. I was driving in earlier today, and you got these baseball guys, and they're all upset because nobody's talking about the Dodgers-Red Sox World Series or the Los Angeles Rams. They're talking about this goofy fight in October between the Lakers and Houston in Game 2 of the NBA season. It's remarkable.
Well, they should be talking about how the Lakers are 0-2. You know, like LeBron, there's only so much he can do. And he's been okay. You know, his stat lines have been okay. He hasn't put up like a 50-point night. But I don't know what to make of the Lakers this year because I don't like the way they're constructed. I love LeBron. But I debated the second he signed a 4-year deal, where his head is at, how committed he really is to winning right now. I don't feel good about the Lakers.
Well, I think if you look at where he's at right now, I think he made that move. I mean, he could have stayed an extra year in Cleveland, played it out one more year. And wink, wink, the Lakers could have done their moves accordingly to get things straightened out. But I think he, you know, has met with them before he signed, and they gave him their vision of how they were going to play this thing out. He believes in that. They're going to have a lot of cap space to play with this offseason, and they feel pretty comfortable that they're going to get a player or two and construct their roster in a way that next year and the years after that, they're going to be able to compete for a championship. So only time will tell if that works itself out. You know, there's so many things that can happen, you know, and there's, you know, you hear all the nonsense about the different free agents that are available and this, that, the other thing. But, you know, word to the wise, as much as people say, hey, I want to play with LeBron, you're going to play in LeBron's shadow, whether you're a member of the Lakers or whether you're a member of the Clippers. And there are other opportunities in other places that are as good, if not better, if you make it better.
Well, the only thing that I like out of the signing, other than, you know, it's good for the L.A. area, is that Lonzo Ball is just gone silent.
Yeah. The whole Ball family, like the Big Baller brand.
Guaranteed. I don't know if you've heard anything, Jack, but, like, was that part of the signing? Like, LeBron just said, I'll sign there, but you got to shut that guy up?
Well, I think that's definitely part of it. And I also think there's a level of respect there. And you know, this is a great opportunity for the kid to really develop. And based upon talking to people in L.A. within their organization, they love the kid. He's a team-first guy. He plays hard every day. He defends. He rebounds. He looks to pass the ball. He's a good teammate. He's respectful of his coaches. So all that noise comes from the old man, not the kid. And I think, obviously Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka have, in their own way, little by little, felt the situation out and been direct, little by little, of just saying, hey, we need to shut this down. And to their credit, they've done a good job with that, and they got to continue to keep a lid on that.
Thank you, Jack. We'll do it again soon.
Guys, my pleasure. Anytime you need me to come on and talk hockey, I'm ready to go.
You got it, man. Go Sabres. They're playing
well.
And
what happened with this guy, Nylander? Anything yet?
I don't know, man. He's
which one, the guy in Buffalo or the guy here?
No, the guy in Toronto, right? Isn't he supposed to? They're trying to get him signed,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they're still working. Yeah, it's in the works. Out. It's in the works.
The wheels are in motion.
He's like Rod Black. He wants too much money.
But the good thing is it keeps all of us in business, right? It's something to talk about.
That's right, man.
True.
Always looking for content.
This is like white collar crime here, the jobs we got. This is great.
Yep, we are. Don't tell anybody. We're on the record at this point.
I'll keep it between us, fellas.
Thanks, Jack. There's Jack Armstrong, our TSN Raptors analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Find great deals on the Toyota RAV4 during Maple Toyota's 2018 clear out. Finance and lease rates from 0%, MapleToyota.com. Raptors Charlotte tonight. Raps big favorites. They're 3-0. These are the games, again, in past years, it was just a lock. And I expect they win tonight, but that's the way the NBA works.
Yeah.
You know, there's 12 to 15 teams you just have to beat, and you're going to lose a couple of them over the course of the year where the Knicks get one off you or Atlanta gets one off you.
But what was the team from that the Raptors lost to?
Well, that was a preseason game. That was Maccabi Tel Aviv of the Israeli League. That was a tough L to swallow. That stung. That was a precursor to what was about to happen. They were terrible.
Didn't
year.
Go so well.
But Kawhi Leonard, man, it's fresh. You know, like there's an excitement. You can feel it.
You can see how good of a player he is.
Yeah, and he's still just getting going. But the fact that he's here and he's a Raptor, and a lot of people have been talking about that promotional video that they pumped out, and it takes a shot at T-Mac and Vince and Bosch, and even Dwayne Casey's involved in it in terms of him representing a figure that just couldn't get over the hump, but now it's a new era, and it's a pretty decent hype video. But you know, the Raptors, they're talking a big game, but until they do it, and there's nothing you can do about it right now, but until they do it in the spring, it doesn't mean anything,
right?
You know, them being 3-0, of course you're 3-0. DeMar would have got you to 3-0. You know, in reality, we don't really know the answer in terms of how different the organization is and how different Nick Nurse is going to be until they actually do it in the spring. And then beyond that, if they can actually sign Kawhi to make him stick around. So
they look good, though.
They look very good. And they are good. Like, they're a loaded team. They're going to win a ton of games. We know it. Like, it's not going to surprise anybody.
No.
But talking a big game in October doesn't mean anything.
Exactly.
Not in the East, anyway.
Yeah, not in the East, exactly. And the Lakers at 0-2, you know, and now Ingram's out for 4 games, Rondo's out for 3 games. LeBron's looked okay, but he hasn't been, like, crushing teams.
No.
He's going to have to carry them this year. And I'm not sure they're going to be a playoff team. Jack's right. You know, they'll sign somebody. Jimmy Butler, maybe Kawhi. Someone is going to end up with the Lakers, and that'll change things if the kids keep growing, but I don't think it's going to happen this year in terms of them actually winning a lot of games. We're going to get into the World Series. We'll start teeing that up. We'll look back again on the Maple Leafs. Another loss, another poor outing. I mean, they played horribly on Saturday night.
Yeah.
But big week with Winnipeg on Wednesday night and then the Jets again at home on Saturday. So we'll get to that a little bit later in the hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, Mike Farron will join us here in a moment from Sirius XM MLB Network Radio, tee up the World Series. Chris Sale's going tomorrow night for the Sox. And game one at Fenway, these are two great organizations, rich history. They have not met in a World Series, technically since like the 1916 World Series or whatever. But since the Dodgers have been in L.A., they've never met in the World Series.
You're going to have to watch a Leaf game on your computer.
I'm trying to figure out how I can pull that off. Yeah, it's only 5 hours ahead, so...
You'll have to wake up and watch it in the morning.
Yeah, I probably will, because I'm going to be jet-lagged and stuff. And
you'll mail it in and just check the score.
I'm not going to watch the game. I'm like, let's just be honest, I'm not doing that.
That's possible.
Nah.
You got a high-speed internet somewhere, you can go back and watch it.
Well, listen to this move.
You're staying at an Airbnb.
We're staying at an Airbnb the first night. Airbnb the first day.
Those are dangerous.
Well, we're staying with another couple, right? And right. They're big proponents of Airbnb, which is fine. You know, I've done it before. It's fine. I was not aware.
Monster walking through your bedroom in his underpants in the middle of the night.
Well, they're catching, it's not a dorm room. But they're catching like hidden cameras in Airbnb. There was one in Toronto. The guy had a hidden camera in the crapper.
That's what I'm worried about, is that you're walking into somebody else's territory.
Their house.
No idea what they're doing.
No way.
So anyway, we're just doing that for the first night, which is fine.
Right. The first night, it's not a problem.
Yeah, beyond that, we're hotel people. I'm a hotel guy. I support the hotel system. But we're flying overnight. We're landing at like 9 a.m. local time. We don't get the place until 4 p.m. in the afternoon. I am going to be walking around London like a zombie. What are we supposed to do all day?
You should have paid for one night earlier so that you could get in.
You belly up somewhere.
You should have paid for one night earlier so that when you land at 9 a.m., you go right to your place and you sleep it
off. Or hotel, and a month out, you say early check-in. Sure, we can get you in probably at 11 a.m. or noon.
Yeah.
The hell am I going to do until 4 p.m.?
You're going to be so miserable.
Oh, my God. I'm going to be... Jack the Ripper is returning to London.
You are going to be so miserable.
Yeah, it's not going to go over well. So anyway, that's my start to the whole trip. And
no wonder you're lucky you're going over early.
Yeah, well, that's why you have to go over early. We got a whole meet and greet on Thursday, the wedding's on Friday.
And you're coming back, what, Saturday?
Sunday, and I'll be here on Monday.
Oh, he's going to be so...
Oh, my... I don't even want you to come in on Monday.
I'll be here.
Of all the mail-in Mondays you've had, I don't want you here on Monday. You're going to be the most miserable person on earth. I'm going to be so upset and rattled and tired.
It's going to be awful. It'll be must-listen to radio.
Oh, it's going to be fun.
All right. World Series starting tomorrow night. Here is Mike Farron from SiriusXM's MLB Network Radio. How you doing, Mike?
I'm good, guys. Boy, that's an awful hang with them. Not only is your place not ready, but then you have to come back on Monday?
No, dude. Oh. It's going to be... I'll be spitting fire. And I'm not going to have enough time to catch up with anything. Something crazy will happen in the World Series.
Yeah.
The Leafs will trade Austin Matthews. The Raptors will trade Kawhi. And I'll be completely ignorant to it all and be...
Yeah.
Hungover, and it'll be awful. It'll be terrible. So anyway, that's my week. What are you expecting out of this World Series? In terms of hype, I mean, it's not the first World Series we've ever seen. It happens every single year, but how does this add up to you in terms of comparing it to previous years with the hype and the Dodgers taking on the Red Sox?
Yeah, I mean, I think it, as somebody who appreciates the history of baseball, I think it's kind of cool that you get these two kind of iconic franchises that have never met in the postseason. I mean, you think about, like, as much as people talk about, like, the curse of the Bambino and all those years that the Red Sox didn't win a championship, it's not like they didn't go to World Series, you know, and the Dodgers were there a lot, especially, you know, through the early part of the 60s. So I think it's kind of cool that they're meeting for the first time. That aspect of it from a historical standpoint is neat, that you get Fenway Park and Dodger Stadium, I think is really cool, that there's, you know, significant star power on both teams is always great if you're looking for it to be a showcase. But from an overall talent, and I see a lot of National League baseball, I don't think that, I mean, the American League playoffs were just being played at a different level than the National League. And I'm not sure that the Dodgers are quite at the level of the teams that Boston's already dispatched.
You mentioned the star power. Could have come down to one of the superstar lefties, Sale, Price, Kershaw, guys that are not known as having a ton of playoff success, if one of these guys can step up and try to dominate the series.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's possible. I mean, you know, listen, for all the talk about how little, you know, postseason success Kershaw's had, I mean, they've won something like, I want to say it's something like 12 of his last 14 starts or something like that now in the playoffs. So, you know, he didn't pitch well against the Cardinals, really. He had a bad start, the second start in the World Series last year. His first one was pretty good. So, yeah, I mean, I think it could come down to that. But, I mean, I don't think it's, you know, I don't think that that's necessarily a guarantee either. I mean, these are pretty good offensive teams, especially with Boston. And if you told me that, you know, like Mookie Betts or JD Martinez were to take over the series, I certainly wouldn't think that's out of the realm of possibility, especially with the Dodgers likely to throw three lefties. You know, they're probably five of the seven games, if it goes the distance, and I don't think it will, would be started by left-handed starters, and that, I think, plays into one of the strengths that the Red Sox have offensively.
What are they going to do with Martinez and Betts as far as playing in L.A.? Are they going to switch that around? I thought I read the piece where Mookie Betts could play second base, and how are they going to handle that situation?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple different things that could come into play with it. I mean, remember, you're going to have, if they play five games, you're going to have two lefty starters, most likely, in Rich Hill and Clayton Kershaw. So that means, because Jackie Bradley Jr. has struggled against lefties compared to righties, you could sit him, play Betts in center, Benintendi in rare, Betts in right, Benintendi in center, and play Martinez in left. That would be one option. That's something I did a fair amount over the course of the season. But the idea of keeping all those guys together in the lineup, specifically in Game 3 when Walker Buehler's pitching, is really interesting. And Mookie Betts was a second baseman in the minor leagues, and the only reason he moved off that position is because the Red Sox have Dustin Pedroia signed for a long period of time. So, you know, I think it's possible, and they certainly have been going through workouts with Mookie getting reaccustomed to second, and I wouldn't be surprised if you saw it for at least a portion of a game. But that also, you know, that also weakens one of, I think, the Red Sox real strengths, which is their outfield defense. I mean, that's a really talented collection of defenders in the outfield when you're able to put Benintendi, Bradley, and Betts together. So I think they'll have to weigh it with that. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if you see it for at least one game, or at least the first, I'd say, six innings of one of those games, that would be a possibility.
Game one of the World Series tomorrow night in Boston. We're chatting with Mike Farron of SiriusXM MLB Network Radio. I look at a guy like Manny Machado, who's got more history against the Sox than anybody else in L.A., and it's one that's steeped in hatred, and he'll get booed every single time he's up at the plate.
No, he shouldn't be shocked by that after the last series.
He's going to get it everywhere, yeah. But he's built himself up into a villain, but man, can he can hack it, man. And he's got a very good history again at Fenway, going up against lefties. He's a righty. He's going to be launching balls off that off the monster. I feel like he is more than just an X factor. What do you expect out of Machado?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's I think he and Justin Turner really make that offense go for Los Angeles. So I think the fact that he's got familiarity with that pitching staff, too, is huge. You know, I mean, he's got a really good idea of how to face David Price. He's seen David Price's entire career. You know, he's got an idea against Chris Sale. He saw him really frequently over the last 2 years. I mean, there just aren't going to be very many surprises that Boston's going to be able to throw at Manny Machado. The one thing is that Machado at times can get out. It's not like he's this guy that grinds out incredible at bats the way that Turner does. And he's a little bit more of an aggressive hitter. And I think that there are times that you can exploit that. And I'm sure that the plan that Brian Bannister and Daniel Avanzi are putting together for the pitchers to try and, you know, use that against Machado, get him to see which at bats he can kind of give away. But you're right. I mean, he's got a chance to be, you know, beyond an X factor in that he could be the star of the series. And frankly, I think the Dodgers kind of need him to be the star of the series if they're going to pull the upset.
Enjoy this one. It should be fun. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, anytime, guys. Take care.
There's Mike Farron of SiriusXM MLB Network Radio. Machado, you know, he's giving off that vibe. He had that quote last week where he's like, I'm just not a Johnny Hustle type.
Right.
I'm not going to go out there and grind. But then, you know, he got into it with Milwaukee. like got into it, and it was a couple of dirty plays, quite frankly.
Right. Well, he tried to take the ankle out of the guy at first base, and then which was gutless play.
It was absolutely intentional. There's no question about it.
And then
he did
himself a disservice when he struck out the first time, and he started waving like, "Bring it on!" And it's like then you.
Well, and against the Sox, like they've had a bunch of feuds over the years. Like he's been thrown out a couple of times. I don't know if he's charged the mound, but he's come close.
He plays a good villain, though, but he can back it up.
Yeah. Yeah, he does, man. And that's exactly right. Like he's going up against Sale, who he knows, Price, who he knows. He's very familiar with Fenway. So he's going to factor in big time to what happens starting tomorrow night. So it should be a fun World Series. Two big markets.
Yep.
A lot of star power, two very good teams. We'll look forward to seeing how that all plays out. We'll get back into the Leaf game on Saturday night. We're talking a lot about Austin Matthews and his ice time and what was Kyle Dubas up to in New York. We'll touch on that as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by Proline. Looking at the NHL board tonight, I am on the over in the Philly-Colorado game.
Well, you think that's going to be a lot of... A lot of goals.
I feel like Gritty, the mascot, will be very entertained tonight. Colorado's off to a great start. I'm on Winnipeg at home against St. Louis and Washington in Vancouver.
Ooh.
I think Vancouver's going to start coming back to reality.
Think so?
Yes, I do.
Patterson's been skating, so it's nice. It's a good story there. Mm-hmm. Good storyline.
Not playing, though, I don't believe tonight.
Not yet.
But
no.
He'll be back soon. Throw down 20. You can score 70. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with Proline. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Proline, get way into the game. So, I mean, a lot of people are tracking Kyle Dubas right now. He was in New York last night. Now, Lewis Gross is the name of William Nylander's agent.
Yeah.
And Gross lives in New York, works in New York.
Okay, but he's in Philly tonight. Who cares? The guy doesn't live in Philly, too.
So you think this means something, that Dubas is now in Philly and everyone knows where he is? And
either it's just
games?
Sending out a message saying, hey, I'm sniffing around, I'm looking around, or the guy, GMs have to know the league. They got to check out teams. They got to look around. Yeah. Although I haven't seen it from Kyle, but it's his first year being a GM. So he wants to get out, look at teams. Either it's, okay there, Mr. Gross, I'm going to be sniffing around here, I don't know what's going on, or he likes watching hockey games, as Bobby Mack tweeted out earlier.
Yeah, my impression is that Kyle is a rink rat. Like, apparently he's like, as the Marlies manager and stuff, he was always, like, everywhere, apparently. Like,
I always love that, though, Jamie. In the best league in the world, when rumors come up, you got to go to a game live and, like, what, you just heard that this guy's kind of good?
That's the funny part. If I'm trading for somebody, why do I need to go see them? Like, because You've seen him probably 100 times.
Well, I would hope so.
And you've seen the game tape and all that.
Like, how much better do you think your report, and I don't think I'd be a good pro scout, but if you were at the game and I watched it on my TV on a big screen with replays, how much better is the guy that's at the game? I know sometimes you just got to be there, but how much better could it really be?
I'll be honest, it actually is. I'll give a percentage, maybe like 30 or 40% better. The only reason being is you can ISO that player. So a lot of times, if you're tracking the puck, and let's say a defenseman, play goes up, you're not watching how he mirrors the play, how he works in tight. Like, some of the things, like, I see a lot of scouts in the rinks all the time, and I have asked that question. Like, you want to lay eyes on this guy, you watch him on RinkNet, which is one of their scouting systems. It's like, sometimes you just need to be in the building to see how this guy comes off the bench, how his energy is, how his body language is, how he gets involved in the play physically, maybe behind the play. Like,
oh, there's definitely an advantageous, you know, element to it, actually seeing him. But you're also not going to leave the rink and be like, I'm trading for that guy.
Yeah, like after one game.
After
it's
one
like,
game.
But is you know, there
or
something?
It would be stupid to be like, well, he was brutal tonight. Scratch him off the list. Not playing him or not going to acquire him.
I will say this. I talked to an AGM who tracked a player that was available last year. And they were in the process of making a deal for him, and he was like, I've watched him too many times live. This guy's a dog. I don't want him anywhere near our organization.
Yeah, which is good. That's good scouting. That's the job.
And that wasn't just looking on the video. It's like, I need to lay eyes on this guy and see how he is night in and night out in 3 games and 4 nights in 3 different cities. So the guy like followed him around and watched him. I always felt as a scout, I wanted to watch somebody 7 to 10 times because you can watch a guy, you can have a great week, and the guy, I'll give you anything you want for this guy, and then you figure out. But I want to see a guy at his worst and see how he digs out or see how he reacts.
Well, and also being there in person, you can have conversations that you wouldn't have if you're at home. All of a sudden, there's a scout there, and you get 2 minutes with the scout. And the scout works for a different team, but you've got a connection to him.
Oh, yeah.
And that scout's like, hey, just so you know this guy, dog, I've been watching him for 2 weeks. Whatever. You know, I mean, that's the grapevine, and that's how it works in the real world, let alone in the sports world. But I think the real question for Leaf fans at this point when it comes to William Nylander and what's happening with him is, by all accounts, and Bobby Mack said this again today, the Leafs are not interested in trading him. They're not fielding calls on it. They're not looking into it. And I would assume that that is the truth right now.
Yeah.
But at some point, that is likely going to stop or be altered. So what is the drop-dead date for the Leafs to say, okay, the phone lines are open, and we're legitimately scouting what is being offered to us for Nylander?
If you want my uneducated opinion on this scenario, because we're not privy to the information, I think after that face-to-face meeting, there has been, I think, an altered offer from either side. Sounds like, you know, there was both teams or both sides wanted long term. Now you're hearing it's being reported there's maybe shorter term involved. There has to have been a plan B or plan C or plan D put forward. If that falls on deaf ears on either side or nobody budges, I don't know if it's a hardline date, but when you've exhausted the list of what you feel it would to get a deal done, for example, if you're Kyle Dubas and you started at this spectrum and then ended up, okay, well, we moved away from these years, moved away from this money, and you feel like it's just unmatchable.
Right. That's where, like, at some point you have to be willing to accept calls from teams and listen to what they would offer you. That doesn't mean you're definitely going to accept the deal or that you've necessarily given up on signing him.
Yeah.
But, you know, in other words, they're not going to wake up on December 1st or, I guess, November 30th and say, you know what, we're trading him. Call us with your best offer. That's not the way it works. So at some point, they're going to have to at least say, call us and tell me what you got. And then you put in the footwork in terms of scouting that player and determining where that pick could turn out and, you know, whatever the package might be.
It wouldn't surprise me if people have offered something and Kyle's said he's not available.
Well, I guess then it's the opposite. When does it get to a point where Dubas starts calling people and say, this is what it's going to take? Like, when did they determine, and they might have this determination already made. Maybe they had it made 3 months ago.
Yeah.
If it gets to a point, not saying we want to trade him, but if he's told us, I'm just not playing for you again, which maybe that happens
figuratively. I'm not doing the Adam Larson trade, so if you think it's going to be Adam Larson, I'm not doing it.
Okay.
We've seen what happened. It's got to be something better.
Well, you know,
and I don't even know what the hell that would look like.
Yeah, I don't know either. It's too difficult to really speculate. But at some point, you gotta listen, I would think. And why wouldn't you listen anyway? Just to get a read. What if some guy calls you up and you're like, "Really? You were gonna offer us that?"
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd rather keep him. But if you're gonna offer us that, then we have to pull the trigger on that deal.
You have to listen. And I think Kyle Dubas is a bright guy, and I think he will, regardless of what's being said or reported. I'm not calling anybody a liar. I'm saying, I'd be shocked if Kyle Dubas doesn't know what the marketplace is around the league for William Nylander, what people are willing to offer, and what he's willing to take as a subplot. Because he's, like, to your point, he's not waking up November 30th and not having a deal on anybody's plate and going, okay, now I'm going to go. He has to put together a framework of scenarios. Okay, if
what
I get
it demands?
Done, what are the demands?
What do you have to get?
What do we need? And,
he's also a rookie GM. He's also a rookie GM. I don't want to see this happen. I would prefer they sign Nylander, keep him in the fold. I think they want that to happen. But, you know, again, if Nylander doesn't want to accept whatever's offered, then there's not much you can do. At some point, you're probably going to have to move on from him. You know, we keep saying this is a big, big deal for Dubas to prove, okay, I can do this and I'm going to get the right deal.
I love how
if it moves to the next stage, you know, like the vultures are coming out.
I love how this is the big week. What's next week? It's the big, big week.
Well,
then the week after that.
The biggest week you've ever seen.
It's the biggest week of all time.
You're 5 weeks away.
Yeah.
You can get a deal done in half an hour. So I think you still have plenty of time. We can ask Craig Button. Craig was a young manager in the league. Ask Craig Button. I don't know if he would name names, but how many calls he got on Jerome McGinley when he was negotiating with Jerome? Because I think he hit a wall a couple times with McGinley and his management as far as getting a short-term, long-term deal and that. Different players. I'm not suggesting they're the same, but
no, but Craig similar context.
Quality players. And Craig told me a story where one manager called up and was like, yeah, I'll give you a second round or take that guy off your hand. Like, literally, like, embarrassing himself mm-hmm. with the type of offer. Like, I don't think anybody is out to rinse Kyle Dubas. And Dubas
But why
has,
wouldn't they be, though? Like, but, and why wouldn't Dubas be trying to rinse 30 other GMs?
But what I'm saying is Brendan Shanahan is a smart guy. Pridham, Lawrence Gilman, like, all of these guys, like, they've been around the block. Kyle may be a rookie general manager on paper, but this guy's been around Lou Lamoriello making deals. Like it's not going to be Kyle just decides, wakes up one morning and doesn't talk to anybody and makes a trade. And yeah, it may seem logical that the Toronto Maple Leafs are in need of a defenseman. So everyone's, you don't want to do the Larson for, Hall deal and that. Well, I don't think William Nylander will ever be Taylor Hall. You hope not.
No, but I didn't think Taylor Hall was ever going to win a Hart. So no. It's not even about being right. Taylor Hall. It's just what if he turns into a 30-goal, 75-point guy?
But what if, you're
it's
right.
It's got to be better than a fourth defenseman.
But what if the player, you need to identify what you need for your organization. So that's the one thing. Trading a defenseman for a forward, the forward's always going to look better.
Mm-hmm.
Because people just compare in points.
Yes.
So the defenseman, say he's a really good defenseman, he gets 30 points, and Nylander goes and gets 70. Well, it's a bust of a trade.
Yeah.
Not really.
Well, there's more of a scarcity when it comes to high-end defensemen,
correct.
And quality defensemen. There
right.
just aren't that many in the league.
Exactly.
So it costs more of a premium to get those guys. I understand that. And that's why New Jersey played the game that they played.
Yeah.
Like, we're not throwing in picks or anything. Larson's a good player, and we want Hall straight up. And eventually, Chiarelli did it.
Yep.
But, hopefully, again, it doesn't get to that point.
I don't think it will. I still don't think
it will either. I think they'll get a deal done. I think because I'm going away, it'll probably happen in the next 24 hours.
It's probably happening tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'll be.
Are you
going to
get greased on the plane with your buddy?
Dude, you got to sleep. You got to get some sleep on the way over.
So you just get on the plane and sleep.
If I can, I would love to. I would pay a lot of money for 7 hours of sleep on that flight.
Yeah, but you got to have a good time.
Tylenol PM.
I will. Don't worry about me having a good time. I'm going to have a very good time.
The Scotty Mac Show fires up tomorrow.
That's right.
At
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.